الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين If you remember last lesson, in the last lesson we talked about the man from amongst the Bani Israel, from the Jews, who killed a man and killed his cousin in order to gain his inheritance, and the story of the cow and the specific cow that they had to slaughter in order to bring this man to life and make him inform the people who actually killed him, which happened. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran told us about the different types of stones and the fact that we have made our hearts stronger than stone. For stone sometimes breaks open and water streams out of it, or water flows out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in regards to the Jews, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the signs which gave them definite knowledge of the fact that Allah exists and Allah is the greatest, yet they still went against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their hearts became stronger than stone. And we also heard that from amongst the Jews there is a group of them who listens to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet after listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they tend to change and alter that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, in the previous scriptures. And this was after understanding it. So they completely understood it, and after they understood it, they changed and altered the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they would meet those who believed, they would say to them that we also believe. When they met the Sahaba-i-Kiram in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say to the Sahaba that we also believe exactly as you all believe. Okay? What they used to say, the Jews who would change the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to meet the Sahaba-i-Kiram like Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and the others, and what they would say to them is that we believe in the same way as you believe. Okay, these are the very Jews who would alter the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after understanding them. And when they were with those who were Jews, when they were with those who were the leaders of the Jews, they would say to them that we are only mocking them. We heard that in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, that when they came to the Sahaba, they said we believe in the same way as you do, and when they were with their own people, they would say that we are only joking with them, we are mocking them, we are deceiving them. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what these people would say to you, the ru'asa of the Jews, meaning the community leaders of the Jews, they would say, when they were alone with the Jews, they would say, are you giving them the information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed for you? This will be used against you on the Day of Judgment in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you not understand? What it means is that these Jewish rabbis who would know the scriptures, they saw that the signs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were mentioned in them. So when they met the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they informed them that you are on the correct path and we believe exactly in the same way as you believe. So this information that they disclosed from their scriptures, which was the unaltered, the one that had not yet been altered, the Ru'asa of the Jews would tell them that, why do you disclose that information? You should only disclose that which we have altered, and tell them that is the truth. Okay? For example, what they did in a narration from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it says that the Jews, in their scriptures, it mentioned the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he looked, his height, and the color of his eyes, and these things were mentioned in their scriptures. And it said that he would be of a moderate height, okay, and his eyes would be dark and black, and his hair would be fine, okay, and beautiful. And they altered that to say that he will be extremely tall. Okay? So the Jews who were unlettered and illiterate, who could not read the book, they would not believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Prophet of Allah, because they were told that the sign is he will be extremely tall, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not extremely tall. And they changed the eye color to be blue. They altered it and they said that his eyes will be blue, and they said that his hair will be messy. Okay, so they changed attributes and the physical attributes in this manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. That the Ru'asa of the Jews are telling them that don't disclose that information to them, otherwise they will use that against you on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do they not know? أَوَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether you hide it or you don't hide it. Allah knows. So whether they disclose that information to the Sahaba or they don't disclose it, Allah already knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge according to his knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in regards to the Jews that وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ, and from amongst them are the أُمِّيُّونَ. And an ummi is an uneducated and unlettered person, one who does not know how to read and write. Okay, those who could not understand what the words of God were in the Old Testament. So وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ, from amongst them there are those who are unlettered and uneducated. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ, they do not know the book. They only know that which they have been told. إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ, but that which they have been told. Okay? And in there much of it was hearsay, and it was all altered. Okay? وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ, and all that they are told is nothing but mere hearsay. Okay? It is all their mere thought that these are the words of God, but it is not truly the word of God. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala has also given a different meaning for amaniya. Al-Hazrat's translation, Kanzul Iman, it mentions two meanings for the word amaniya. One, it says that from amongst them are the ummi, the uneducated, they do not know the book, but to read it off by heart. Tika, meaning they can only read it, they can only read the book, but they don't understand the book. Okay? And then Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, or hearsay. Tika? Or fabricated verses. So either they are so uneducated that they do not understand the book, but the fact that they can read it off by heart, they don't even get to see it. Okay, they just heard what was said and they could speak it now. They could speak the words of God. They could say them off by heart. Or it is the fabricated verses. Tika? وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ, and they are not but upon mere thought. Tika? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ, may they be destroyed who wrote the book with their hands. Okay? Wail is not a curse, but it is a baddu'a, similar to a curse. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, these people will be destroyed. They will be put into the fire of hell, because these are the ones who wrote the book of God with their own hands. Okay? فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ May they be damned, okay? Who wrote the book with their own hands. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Then they say that this is the word of Allah. ٹھیک ہے؟ That is fabrication upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are deceiving people by saying these are the words of God when they are the words of their own hands. So, damned be those who write the book with their own hands. Then they say to the people that this is from Allah. لِيَشْتَرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا Why do they do this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a reason. Okay, and Allah is the one who knows what's inside the hearts of people. Okay, nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that they can gain a small price. ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا Meaning a small price. What was the price? The price was simply this, that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, when he left Mecca and he came to Medina, the Jews saw, the leaders of the Jews saw that this man fits the attributes that have been mentioned in our books. And if people start following him, then we will lose our livelihood, the gifts that we receive, the position that we have, that we hold, the respect and honor that people give to us. We will lose all of it. And therefore, they started changing the attributes in the word from Allah. And when they changed it, they began telling people that this is the truth, this is the truth. Okay? So this, they were selling, this false information, they were selling for a small price. And that small price was their respect, honor, the livelihood, the gifts that they were receiving, the position they held in amongst the people. Tika? The reason why Allah calls this a small price is because this world is nothing compared to the hereafter. Okay? The hereafter is far more greater than this place. And an example in another verse of the Quran is that when a child is in the womb of his or her mother, the amount of world that the child sees inside the womb of the mother compared to this world is the same as this world compared to the hereafter. Okay, so if in the child's womb, if somebody had the ability, although this is normally impossible, but if this was possible that somebody could go into the mother's womb and tell the child that, you know, outside there is a world where cars move and people sit on cars and people grow bigger, they have big hands and they can run, they can do this, they can do that. There's all sorts of foods, there's these type of trees, animals. The child in the womb would not believe such, because the child has only seen that little world. Okay? And it would seem impossible, all of that. Okay, similar to a person living in a well, they wouldn't know what's outside. Hannah, in the same way, for us to be in this world, we've seen all these things that are in this world, the aeroplanes and all these amazing things that men have created through the gift of Allah, which is knowledge and intellect. Now if somebody tells us what's going to be in the hereafter, it'd be hard for us to believe. Okay? The fact that every single person will be with he whom he wishes, or with she who she wishes, and everybody will have that which they want. Okay? It's beyond the comprehension of your mind, because person A wants to be with person B, so he will be with person B. But at the same time, person B wants to be with, not with person A, but person C. And person B at one time will be with person A and with person C. Tika? How is that possible? We don't understand that. Because in our world, that doesn't happen. But this will be the hereafter. Okay? And everything will be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. So this world, this honor and this respect for this world, and the food that they receive, the gifts that they receive, the tax that they used to take from the followers of Judaism, all of that is a small price. And for that they are changing the words of God. And it is God who they need to please in order to go into heaven. So that is a small price they are doing this for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ And may they be damned for that which their hands have written. وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ And may they be damned due to that which they have committed. Okay? Yani these actions of theirs are the reason for their damnation. Okay, and they will be damned on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالُوا, and they would say, the Jews would say, لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. They would say that the fire will never burn us but for a certain amount of days. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا, for a number of days. Okay, this is what the Jews believed. They believed that the fire would not burn them but for a certain amount of days. And in the sharah of this, in a hadith, again from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it says that these certain amount of days were 40 days. Okay? It is only 40 days that the Jews will be burned in the fire of hell, and after that they will go to heaven, to Jannah. And they say that the 40 days is because when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went to the Mount Tur, or the Mount Sinai, when he went there for the revelation, it was 40 days. And in them 40 days, the Bani Israel, meaning the Jews, they worshipped the cow. Okay? So, those 40 days in which they worship the cows, that is what they will go into the fire of hell for. 40 days. And anybody after that who has been sinful in this world, they will only go into the fire of hell for 40 days maximum. Okay? And after that they will go into paradise. This is what the Jews used to say. لَن تَمَسَّنَا النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. لَن negates the whole future. Which means that we will never be burned by the fire of hell but for 40 days. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you tell them, أَتَّخَذْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا. Have you made a covenant with Allah? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never go against this covenant that He has made with you of only burning you for 40 days. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Or are you saying upon Allah that which you not know? Meaning, are you fabricating a lie upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because this information is not written in their books. Okay? That the fire will only burn them for 40 days and then they are guaranteed to go into paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie, which means you must have a covenant with Allah. And that is not true as well, because you don't have a covenant with Allah. In other words, you are the ones who are lying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bala. Bala means, of course. Bala, man kasaba sayyatan wa ahatat bihi khati'atuhu fa'ulaika ashabun nar. Verily, bala means, of course, he who has committed a sin, wa ahatat bihi khati'atuhu, and his sin has surrounded him completely, meaning the sin has completely overcome this person. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Then verily, then they are the people of the fire of hell. Okay? When a person commits a sin and the sin overcomes him completely. أَحَاطَتْ means the sin draws a circle around him and it's a complete circle, meaning this person has drowned into that sin. فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Then such people are the people of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will remain in the fire forever. Okay? They will remain in the fire forever. And this verse of the Quran shows to us that life after death will be forever. Okay? Life after death will be forever. And they will live in the fire of hell forever. There will be no stopping. And the Sharih, the Mufassireen, they explain that a sin can only completely surround a person and overcome a person when it is kufr, when he has fallen out of Islam. Okay? Otherwise, the iman in his heart will stop the sin from surrounding him completely. There will always be that possibility, possible way out. Okay? It won't completely overcome him and he won't completely drown in sin, and as long as he's a believer. And the only time the sin can completely surround him and he can completely drown in a sin is when he has committed kufr and he has fallen out of Islam. So this verse is talking about kufr, meaning falling out of Islam having surrounded him. Okay, so he has been surrounded by infidelity and kufr from Islam. And
That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are the people of the fire. Okay? They are the people of the hellfire, and they will remain in there forever. Those people who commit sins but they still believe, then sin does not completely surround them. Okay? They still have iman, they will not live in the fire of hell forever. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds, they carry out good deeds, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, they are the people of paradise, of Jannah, of heaven. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will remain in there forever. Okay? So those people who believe and they do good deeds, they will go into the heaven, into paradise, and they will remain in paradise forever. And here again, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ shows that life will be forever after this life. And that is why we cannot compare the hereafter with this life, because this life is limited. And even if we were to say that this world is like one ocean, one drop of water from seven oceans, it's still not a correct comparison, because the seven oceans are still limited. And the life here after this one is not limited. And the scenario mentioned on the Day of Judgment, when people will be put into the fire of hell and the people of Jannah will be put into Jannah, after that what will happen is that those people who are in the fire of hell, yet they were believers, whether they were Jews, they were believers then, the Christians, they were believers then, and then the Muslims who are believers in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all will be in Jannah. But those who have committed sins will be in the fire of hell, and those who follow previous prophets, they will be in the fire of hell for their sins. Once they have served their time in the fire of hell, they will be removed from the fire of hell, they will be put into Jannah. Once everybody who deserves heaven is in heaven, and those who deserve to be in the fire of hell will be in the fire of hell, at that time Allah will call everybody out, and everybody will come out, and Allah will show them death, that this is death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have death vanished in front of them, sacrificed, that death no longer exists, and now whatever you are in is forever. And then the people of heaven will go into heaven, and they will live there forever, and those who will be in the fire of hell, they will be in fire forever. Okay, eternal bliss and eternal damnation. That's going to be the situation there. That is why this world is very less important compared to the hereafter. The hereafter is everything. And that is why we should live this world for the hereafter. And the best businessman is he who invests this life for the reward in the hereafter. And that's what our aim should be. Okay? That's the end of that ruku. The next ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, and remember when we took a covenant with the Bani Israel, the Jews. And there is ikhtilaf in regards to this covenant. According to some mufassirin, this covenant was taken when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, okay, with the Jews. And it was لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that you do not worship anyone but Allah. Okay? So the Christians need to stop worshipping Jesus, and the Jews need to stop worshipping Udhair alayhi salam. Okay? You only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none other is worthy of worship. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that you must be good towards your parents. Okay? And this is a point worth noting here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his worship mentions the respect of parents, which shows how important the respect of parents is. So لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, the covenant is that you do not worship anyone but Allah, and that you be good to your parents. Okay, so you see, in line with worshipping Allah, being good to your parents, that shows the importance of being good to one's parents. And in the same way as the severity of going against the first one, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, if one worships anyone other than Allah, then he is committing shirk. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And he who is not being good to his parents, it is not shirk, but it is a very severe sin. Bringing it next to shirk shows that it is a very severe sin as well. Okay? Being disobedient to one's parents. And the Mufassireen under this, they mentioned some of the ways of respecting your parents and what one should do. And what they say is, first of all, you look at the other verses of the Quran, for example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must not even say uff to your parents. Okay? And the word uff is an expression of disagreement towards your parents. Okay? In English, where we use the term tut, to tut to your parents. Okay? When they say something to you and you don't like it, you disagree with it, you make this sound. Yeah? To do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has made it haram. Okay? لَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّن. Allah has made it haram for you to tut at your parents. Okay? And the word uff is mentioned in the Quran, and that is specific to the meaning of tut. Okay? To tut to your parents. And in another language, if it's different, then it's that. Okay? So, for example, if in a language, the word uff means yes, then you can say that to your parents. Okay? What the Quran is saying is that you do not be disrespectful to your parents. Okay? And what it also says is that one must be obedient to his parents. Okay? When they need him, the person should be present to help their parents. When they become old, the person should serve their parents. And the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarded the voluntary prayer, which is the nafl prayer, not as superior as serving your parents, which means it is more rewarding to be present to serve your parents than to be in voluntary salah. Okay? So for example, you look at the Zuhr salah. In the Zuhr Salah, there's four units of Sunnah. Okay, four Rakat Sunnate Mu'akkada. And then there are four units of obligatory Salah, which is four Fard of Zuhr. After that, there are two Sunnah Mu'akkada, which means two emphasized Sunnah units, which you must pray. After that, there are the final two, which are voluntary, two Nafl. And if somebody's parents call out to him, yet he has still got to pray these, then he must leave these two, final two, because they're voluntary, they're nafl, and he should be present to answer to their parents' call. Okay? He is rewarded more for answering to his parents, meaning being present for their service, than being in voluntary prayer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Does that make sense? But for that which is wajib, you must first pray that, and then attend to your parents. Okay? If your parents ask you not to fast, a voluntary fast, then you must not fast. Okay? You must listen to them. Okay? That's how important it is to respect one's parents. If one's parents are misguided, or if one's parents are not in Islam, then the Mufassireen Ikram have mentioned about this, that you should, in the most kindest ways, and the most gentle ways, you must continue to try and bring them towards Islam. Okay? And even if they are misguided or they have beliefs which are wrong of iftidad in Islam, then you should do the same. You should kindly tell them and try to bring them closer to Islam, to the correct path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember the covenant that we made with the Bani Israel, that you do not worship anyone but Allah, and that you be good to your parents and to your relatives and to the orphans and to the poor. So after respecting your parents, you must also be good to your relatives. Okay? You must not argue and fight amongst each other. You must not hold grudges and hatred against each other. If they are your relatives, you must be good to them. Okay? You must not hold anything in your heart against your relatives. Wal yatama, and towards the orphans. Okay? You must always be good towards orphans as well. They hold a special status in Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was an orphan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in making the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan is to raise the status of the orphans. Okay? So that an orphan child doesn't think that doesn't feel so bad. He thinks to himself that even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the greatest of all creations of God, he was an orphan. Okay? So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan, and he loved the orphans. Okay, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the orphans, and he always emphasized in helping and giving to the orphans. And Allah here in the Quran says that you must be good towards the orphans. Wal masakin, and you must always be good towards the poor people. And a miskin is he who does not know where his next meal will be. Okay, and it could be somebody who has no clothing to cover himself. Or somebody who is homeless. Anybody who is needy, you must be good to them. You must not look down towards them. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and you must always speak good to the people. Okay, and now this means every people. You must speak good to the people. And the Mufassireen, those who commentate on the Quran, they said that وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا means أَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِي أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Okay, which means commanding the good or condoning the good, وَنَهِي أَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and prohibiting and stopping and preventing people from and condemning the evil. Okay? So that is what it means when we say قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. It doesn't mean that you always just be smiling and always be good to them. When you have to prohibit, you prohibit them. And when you have to condone something, you condone it. Okay? When you have to encourage something, you encourage it. When you have to disencourage it, you have to disencourage. It doesn't mean قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا means that you agree with everything they say. Okay? قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا means command the good and forbid the evil. Be good to others. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and establish salah, establish prayer, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and give zakat, give the charity that has been made obligatory upon you. Okay, this was a covenant that was made with the Jews. Okay, and this may have been when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Madinatul Munawwara. Okay, according to the Mufassirin. ثم تولّيتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون وأنتم معرضون. After that, after this covenant, you turned away but a few from amongst you. They turned away but a few from amongst them. Okay, وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, and you are the ones who always turn away. Okay, from the experience, from what has happened in the past, they have always gone against the covenants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made with them, as we have read before. So, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. After that covenant was made, you again turned against it, but a few from amongst you. And you are those who turn away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. And remember when we made a covenant with you that you would not shed the blood of each other and you would not drive each other out of their own homes. ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ, you accepted this covenant, وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ, and you are a witness to this. Okay? What happened was, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into Medina, he saw that there were two groups amongst the Jews. One was the Bani Qurayza and one was the Bani Nuzair. And in Mecca there were two tribes of the people of Mecca, the Aus and the Khazraj. And the Aus had an agreement, they had an agreement with Bani Qurayza. And the agreement was that they were allies of each other. Okay, when one of them went to war against their rival tribe, then the other would come to help them. Okay? So the Jews, the Bani Qurayza, they had an agreement with Aus, the tribe, the Meccan tribe. And they were the allies of them. And then on the other hand, the other group was Khazraj, from the tribe of the people of Mecca. They had an agreement with Bani Mudayr. And their agreement was the same, that when we went to war, you would come to help. Okay? So amongst the Jews, there are two groups, Bani Qurayza and Bani Nudayr. And amongst the people of Mecca, the tribes of Mecca, there were the Aus and the Khazraj. Okay? And when the Aus went to war with Khazraj, with the other tribe, Bani Qurayza would come in aid for Aus, and Bani Nudayr would come in aid for Khazraj. And they would fight amongst each other. So the Bani Qurayza would be fighting against Bani Nudayr, and they would be killing each other. So the Jews, due to being allies of these Arabian tribes, they would be fighting against each other, they'd kill each other, they'd drive each other out of their homes to go into war. Tika? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, that Allah made a covenant with you that you would not shed the blood of each other and you would not drive each other out of your homes. You accepted and you are a witness to this covenant. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَٰؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Then it is you who are killing yourselves. But they still carried on doing this. وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And you are removing each other from their homes. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You are helping upon, or you are supporting the sins and animosity. You are causing this. You are causing sins and you are causing enmity. Whereas you are not supposed to be doing this. Yet when you do all of this, وَإِن يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ. And when one of them is brought as a captive of war, it is you who go and free them by giving ransom. And this was haram for you in the first place, to make them come out of their homes to go and fight. What this means is, what these people used to do is, Bani Qurayza is now fighting against Bani Nuzayr due to Aus and Khazraj. Okay? And when they fight amongst each other, when Aus has taken somebody from Bani Nuzayr as a captive in war, and they have taken him away, it would be Bani Qurayza who has an agreement with Aus that would go to Aus and say, oh, you have such and such a person from our people, this is the ransom money, please free him. They would go and free them, so that they were free back into Bani Nuzayr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is you who drove them out, and it is you who fought against them with swords. If you would have found him in the battlefield, you would have killed him. And now when he has been taken as a captive, it is you who goes and gives the ransom to free them and bring them back home. Okay, which does not make sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. You are believing in some of the scriptures that have been revealed to you and you are rejecting the rest of it. So you choose to accept what you want. So in order to bring them back by paying ransom, they will bring them back and be good to them. Okay? But when time comes to go to war, they break the covenant. And then they accept the covenant and then they break it. That's what used to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. What is the punishment of he who does such from amongst you? Accept some of the words of God or some of the covenant and break some of it. What is it? But إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But disgrace in this living world. There is nothing but disgrace as a punishment of these acts. Actions of theirs. And not only that, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And on the day of judgment, they will be thrown towards a severe punishment. Towards the most severe of punishments. Okay? So for such people who make covenants with Allah and then they break them and they accept them whenever they want, or they choose to accept some of the verses of the Quran and they reject some of them, We learn from this that there is nothing but disgrace for them in this world, and on the Day of Judgment there will be the most severe punishment for them. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of that which you do. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware, and Allah knows everything that they do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which they try to hide as well. أولئك الذين اشتروا الحياة الدنيا بالآخرة. They are those who have sold this life. They are those who have sold their hereafter for this life. Okay? They are those who have sold their hereafter for this life. They preferred to choose this life. فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ. And therefore, punishment will not be lessened for them. Punishment will not be decreased for them. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And they will not be helped. On the Day of Judgment and in the fire of hell, there will be no help for such people. Okay? These are those people who broke the covenant of Allah again and again and again. And they only accepted those verses that they wanted to accept, and they rejected the rest of the verses. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and accept them completely. Inshallah, we shall continue next week.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله مصطفى ذات یکتا آپ ہے مصطفی ذات یکتا آپ ہے یک نے جس کو یک بنایا آپ ہے آپ جیسا کوئی ہو سکتا نہیں آپ جیسا کوئی ہو سکتا نہیں اپنی ہر خوبی میں تنہا آپ ہے اپنی ہر خوبی میں تنہا آپ ہے مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے آب و گل میں نور کی پہلی کرن آب و گل میں نور کی پہلی کرن جان آدم جان حوا آپ ہے جان آدم جان حوا آپ ہے مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے آپ کی رویت ہے دیدار خدا آپ کی رویت ہے دیدار خدا جلوہ گاہ حق تعالی آپ ہے جلوہ گاہ حق تعالی آپ ہے مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہیں یقین جس کو یقین بنایا آپ ہے، آپ کی طلعت کو دیکھا جان دی، آپ کی طلعت کو دیکھا جان دی، قبر میں پہنچا تو دیکھا آپ ہے، قبر میں پہنچا تو دیکھا آپ ہے، مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے، یقین جس کو یقین بنایا آپ ہے، اپنے در تک آپ مجھ کو کھینچ لے، اپنے در تک آپ مجھ کو کھینچ لے، نہ توا ہوں میں توانا آپ ہے، نہ توا ہوں میں توانا آپ ہے، مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے، آپ کی طلعت خدا کا آئینہ، آپ کی طلعت خدا کا آئینہ، جس میں چمکے حق کا جلوہ آپ ہے، جس میں چمکے حق کا جلوہ آپ ہے، مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے، آپ کی خاطر بنائے دو جہاں، آپ کی خاطر بنائے دو جہاں، اپنی خاطر کیا بنایا آپ ہے، اپنی خاطر کیا بنایا آپ ہے، حسن اول کی نمود اولی، حسن اول کی نمود اولی، بزم آخر کا اجالا آپ ہے، بزم آخر کا اجالا آپ ہے، مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے، کیوں کہوں بے کس ہوں میں بے بس ہوں میں، کیوں کہوں بے کس ہوں میں بے بس ہوں میں، میرے یاور میرے مولا آپ ہے، میرے یاور میرے مولا آپ ہے، جان تو ہی جانا قرارے، جان تو ہی جان تو ہی جانا قرارے، جان تو ہی جانے جان جانے مسیحا آپ ہے، jaane ja jaane masiha aape hai mustafa e da te akta aape hai بردرت آمد گدا بحر سلام بردرت آمد گدا بحر سلام ہو بلا اختر کا داتا آپ ہے ہو بلا اختر کا داتا آپ ہے مصطفیٰ ذات یکتا آپ ہے یقین جس کو یقین بنایا آپ ہے
سبحان اللہ جزاک اللہ بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین وعلی آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین In the last lesson of hadith, we learned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his dua he would say that, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge which does not benefit. So from that we learn that there is such knowledge which may not benefit us. Okay? And then we also learn that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua to Allah in this manner, where he would say, O Allah, benefit me with that which you have taught me, and give me knowledge of that which will benefit me, and increase me in knowledge. Okay? And all praise belongs to Allah in every state. And we also learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives the understanding of religion to those whom He wishes or wills good for. Okay. And then we heard the two different study circles in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there were two groups of people sitting in the masjid, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are both upon good. Okay, one circle was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And the other was engaged in teaching and learning the deen. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both are good. However, I was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a teacher. ثُمَّ جَلَسَ مِنْهُمْ And then he sat amongst those, that circle which was teaching and learning. Okay? Which shows that it is more superior and more rewarding and more beneficial to sit in a study circle than a circle of dhikr. Okay? Yet they are both rewarding and they are both good. It doesn't mean we should completely abandon the dhikr circle. We should also do that. And we should also do the study circle. We also learned, the last hadith we heard last week, is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everything on this earth, including the fish in the water, they seek the forgiveness for an alim. Okay, an alim is he for whom the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seek forgiveness for. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that the prophets and messengers do not leave behind any worldly material as inheritance, but they leave behind knowledge. Okay? So from whether a person is from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or he is not from the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone is free to take the inheritance left behind
by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the share that everyone can take is a full. Okay? Every man can take as much as he wishes. The next hadith is similar to the previous hadith, where the narrator of the hadith says, and this is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif in the chapter of knowledge, it says, ذُكِرَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَلَى عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلَانِ أَحَدُهُمَا عَبِدٌ وَالْآخَرُ عَالِمٌ. Two people or two men were mentioned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is a worshipper, an abid, a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is obedient and does his salah and worship in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is an alim. Okay, the other is a scholar. So these two people were mentioned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ. The superiority of the alim over the worshipper, or the virtue of the alim over the worshipper, كَفَضْلِي عَلَى أَدْنَاكُمْ, is like my superiority over the lowest one from amongst you. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then he said, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ وَأَهْلَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِينَ حَتَّى النَّمْلَةَ فِي جُحْرِهَا وَحَتَّى الْحُوتَ لَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَى مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. Verily, Allah and His angels and those in the sky and those in the earth. And it says wal ardeen, which is plural for earth. Okay? Hatta namlata fi juhriha, even the ant in its hole. Wa hatta alhuta, up to and even the fish in the water. La yusalluna ala muallimin nas. They all send salutations upon the teacher of the people. Okay? Depends what he teach. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Muallim al-nas al-khayr," he who teaches good to the people. Okay, he who teaches bad to the people, he who teaches wrong to the people, not for him. Okay, only for those teachers who teach good to the people, and those scholars who teach good to the people, then, subhanallah, for them, Allah, the angels, the people of the sky, or those of the sky and the earth, even the ants in their holes and even the fish in the water, they all send salutations upon him. Okay? And thus, it shows the virtue of becoming a scholar. The next hadith, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ said, إِنَّ مَثَلَ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي الْأَرْضِ كمثل النجوم في السماء يهتدى بها في ظلمات البر والبحر. Verily, the example of the scholars on the earth, the ulama on the earth, is the example of the stars in the sky. Okay, when you look up in the sky, you see the stars. Okay, they are distinguished in the sky, they shine. يهتدى بها في ظلمات البر والبحر. People are guided through them in the darkness of the earth and the ocean or the seas. Okay? So in the same way as the stars in the night are there to guide the people on the earth and on the water to the right path, in the same way the ulama, the scholars, are on the earth to guide people to the right path. فَإِذَا انْطَمَسَتِ النُّجُومِ أَوْشَكَ أَنْ تَضِلَّ الْهُدَاتِ. And when the stars would disappear, if the stars would disappear, then it would be near that the guided people would become misguided. Tika? So when the ulama-i-kiram would disappear, it would be near that the guided people would also become misguided. So these ahadith show us the importance of knowledge and the importance of or the respect and honor of the ulama-i kiram. May Allah give us all the ability to become knowledgeable and from amongst the ulama. The next hadith, man allama ilman, he who teaches a knowledge. Okay, somebody who has taught something. فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ. Then for him is the reward of he who acts upon it. Okay, so if one person teaches another how to perform prayer or salah, then every time he performs salah, the teacher will be rewarded for it. Okay, لَا يَنْقُسُ مِنْ أَجْرِ الْعَامِلِ. And the reward of the person who is actually carrying out the action will not decrease in any way. Okay, so he doesn't have to share his reward with his teacher. But he will receive this, the full reward for it, and the teacher will also receive the full reward for it. Okay, so from this we also learn that we should teach good as much as we can. For every good that we teach to others, when they will act upon it, we will be rewarded for it. Okay, if you teach somebody to say Alhamdulillah after sneezing, then every time that person says it, you will be rewarded for it. Okay? If you teach a person how to say MashaAllah, then you will be rewarded for it every time they say it. The same with SubhanAllah. Okay? All these very rewarding acts and rewarding words, if we teach anything to another person and they will use it, then we will be rewarded for it. Number 11. إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ أَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. When a person dies, his actions are all finished besides three. Okay? So three actions will still remain for a person, meaning his reward will continue. First of all, مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ. So first of all, إِنْقَطَعَ عَنْهُ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ. So that صَدْقَةِ جَارِيَةٍ that he has done, which means that charity which continues. Okay? A charity which continues. If he has done such a charity, then that will continue. He will continue to be rewarded for it even after he has passed away. For example, if he dug a well for the people to quench their thirst, then even after he has died, those people who are still quenching their thirst from that water, that deceased person will still be rewarded for it. Okay, his book of deeds will still start, carry on. In the same way, if somebody published a book of goodness, and he publishes it, he pays for the publication of it and free distribution, and somebody reads it, and he learns how to pray salah, or he learns how to say these rewarding words or do good, and he carries on doing this. This person has now died, who paid for the publication and free distribution. He dies, but the book continues generation after generation after generation. People carry on reading this book and they learn how to pray, they learn how to say these good things. That person who died, who paid for this, is being rewarded for all that. Okay? And the longer this book continues generation after generation, this person will continue to be rewarded for it. Okay? So that is why you should try and leave behind much and plenty sadqa-i jariya. Okay? Try and, as I said, the best businessman is he who invests this life for the hereafter. So use your mind to invest in those things which will continue more for longer, and which will give you more reward whilst you are in your grave. أو علم ينتفع به. And the second one, we said three, and these are not these three are not mentioned as a limited amount. Okay, these three are mentioned in accordance to the occasion the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in. Okay, the people that were around him, he mentioned these three, and there are more. Okay, and in different ahadith, different ones have been mentioned. So, صَدْقَةِ جَارِيَةٍ عِلْمٍ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ. Or he leaves behind a knowledge which people benefit from. Okay, so a person has left knowledge with others who are using that knowledge or benefiting other people with that knowledge, then the person in the grave who taught that knowledge in the first place will receive reward for it. Okay? And that can also continue for generation after generation. And the third one is أو ولد صالح, a pious child. Okay? If somebody has ensured that their son knows what Islam is, he knows what the true correct path is, he understands how to perform salah, he knows what is right and what is wrong, he has been taught all of that, and he is a pious lad, then he is a pious child, then the parents will receive reward for him. Okay? Even though they have passed away, as long as the child is still alive, they will be rewarded for it. Okay? And if he makes somebody else into a pious person in the same way as his parents did, then they will continue to be rewarded for that generation after generation. Okay? And وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدُعُوا لَهُ, and this pious child who makes dua for them. Okay? And this hadith is in Muslim Sharif, and this is an authentic hadith. Okay? In the chapter of Wasiyah. So here we also learn that after parents have passed away, or anybody has passed away, anybody who يَدُعُوا لَهُ, who makes dua for them, they are rewarded for it. Hana, there are people who claim to be Muslims, yet they say that once a person has died, he is finished. You can't pray for them, you can't do Fatiha for them, everything's finished. But that is wrong. Okay? That is wrong. Here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in an authentic hadith, clearly shows to us that there are still ways of benefiting them. Okay? You know that they wrote this book, you publish it. Okay? Or you know something good that your parents taught you, then you teach it to other people, and that will continue to give them reward. Or you make dua for them, and that will reach them. Okay? And Fatiha that we do when we recite the Quran, send that reward, and we make dua for them. That is all according to the hadith. Okay? Does that make sense? The next hadith, and it's the last hadith we shall do today, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Kalimatul Hikmatu Dallatul Mu'min. A quote of wisdom, a wisdom quote, is the missing property of a believer. Okay? A quote of wisdom. Al-Kalimatul Hikmah means that kalima which has wisdom in it. Hikmah. Which means a quote of wisdom. Tika? A quote of wisdom is dallatul mu'min, is the missing property of a believer. فَحَيْثُ وَجَدَهَا فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهَا. Wherever and however you find it, or a believer finds it, فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ بِهَا, he is more rightful of it. Okay? What this means is that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was the father of all humans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught everything to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. And from Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, it was all inherited by those who came after. And the knowledge that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was from the knowledge that he possessed, was from the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he gained through the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we already know how Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was created and how the light of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was placed there. So all those who believe in Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam and all the prophets and messengers and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the rightful owners of that knowledge, inheritors. Okay? And therefore, any quote of wisdom, and remember, a wisdom quote is not what anybody and everybody calls a wisdom quote. A wisdom quote is that which Islam regards as a quote of wisdom. Okay? So if somebody, for example, says that from all my 18, or from the history of 18 centuries, I have never heard anybody pray for Shaitan when he is the one who most needed it. Okay, it's a quote known as a wisdom quote from somebody. We don't pray for Shaitan, Hannah, and therefore that is not a wisdom quote for us. Okay? But those which are from amongst quotes of wisdom and they do not contradict Islam, then they are the lost property of believers and we should gain them from wherever we can. Does that make sense? That's the importance of knowledge, and inshallah we shall carry on the next lesson. Any questions? Anybody?
Anybody already knows everything. Jazakumullah khairan.
صلى الله عليه وسلم.